I believe there's a message that's being prepared for next week and Easter, and I really hope you guys would I would encourage you to invite others to come join us, not only just on Easter Sunday, but on Palm Sunday, you know, just as we're preparing for this whole Holy Week. And I hope your heart and your mind is thinking on the things that we just went through, the things that Ed just shared. Like, spend time reading in the Scripture. Spend time reading about the things that Jesus did for us. Get in the Gospels. Read that. Let your heart meditate on Him day and night. Not just now, but all year. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. Father, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, speak through me today. Open hearts, Lord. Remove the veil to show each and every person here what they need to see. Where their shortcomings are, Lord. Where they're standing strong in You, Father. For Your word has the power and authority to change. That we might be more like You. Let us all be vessels of honor. Encounter us right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We did not finish last week's message. We talked about the hardness of heart. This is still really part of the Surrendered and Broken series. And the opening scripture was Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but He made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And I want to focus on that part again. Let this mind be in you. And I want you to understand that when they're talking about the mind, He's talking about the heart. Because the heart itself is really the centerpiece of the Christian. Okay? It's kind of what makes us go as far as what makes us tick according to God. It's, you know, our heart experiences grief, and it gives us desires after the Lord. It gives us joy, according to Ephesians 5:19, understanding, our thoughts and reasoning, Hebrews 4:12, that's by the Word of God. And our faith and belief, we just talked about, justification, those things, when you accept Jesus, you don't accept Him in your mind, you accept Him in your heart. And so that's what He's saying is, let this heart be in you, let this mind, because your heart is going to dictate to your mind. If you are surrendered, your heart is surrendered to the Word of the Lord. And we talked about a hardness of heart. And so now that you understand that mind piece, that Hebrews 3, 7 through 15 says, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested Me, they tried Me, and they saw My works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry at that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known My ways, so I swore in My wrath, they shall not enter My rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief. A little bit. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, correct?
Yes.
In departing from the living God, but exhort one another sometimes.
Daily.
It says daily, that's correct. Exhort one another daily, while it is called today, for today is the day of salvation. Today is the day for live for Christ. Not tomorrow, not a week from now, not a month from now, today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end.
Amen.
So if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And I gave you point one, and that's about as far as we got, which was to avoid hardness of heart, you must surrender to the authority of God's word. For it is living and is sharper and more powerful than any two-edged sword. It cuts to the bone and the marrow. It's a discerner of your thoughts, for the thoughts come out of the heart. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So God speaks through each and every one of us through his word, for it is living and it's alive. And you read the stories and you see how sin of our forefathers kept us. That's why that Hebrews passage is so important. And that reference about being baptized in justification, Paul confirmed that with 1 Corinthians 10, because he was talking about the Israel and how they were baptized into Moses, into the cloud, and yet they rebelled. They didn't stay steadfast. They got over to the other side, and it just a little bit of time, and suddenly they're forming a golden calf. They're forming an idol to worship. So my question is, are there idols in your heart? Are there idols in your life that you've formed because you've taken a little break from God? You've taken a little break and something else crept in and it's kind of shaped, and that's where your focus has become. Your focus determines what is that an idol in your life, or is God in your life? Is God number one? And in that passage of 1 Corinthians 10, this is just recapping, I read that one piece, which was 10, verse 11, which says, these things were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. For God is speaking directly to us today. We were at dinner yesterday, and Brian was like, wow, so cool, John being able to see in the book of Revelation, be able to see the prophecy of what God was going to fulfill. And I said, how much even cooler is that you've been appointed to live during this day. Amen. God set you for this day, and you are seeing those scriptures now come to life. Yes. John got to see through prophecy of what was to come. We are living in those days of prophecy. The headlines daily are what is in your Bible. It is a time. So God is speaking directly to each and every one of us today through his word, for it is alive. It's not something old. It's not just some great wise sage wrote something down to reference. The word of God is alive. That's what that scripture says. So it is breathing, and it's God's spirit that is breathing upon you when you read it.
Amen.
Don't ignore it. Do not ignore his word. You have to be in it. You have to spend time on it. Carve time out. If you don't do that, start with just some devotionals and then build from there. Just start. Start today. Start something. Do something. So one, you have to surrender to God's authority of his word, okay? To avoid hardness of heart. Two, you have to make sure you are in proper relationship with God. What separates us from God? Sin. Sin separates from God. Where does sin begin? Sin begins in the heart. Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 22. And he said, this is Jesus, what comes out of a man that defiles a man, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed what? Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and evil eye. Blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. That's not Pastor Jeff saying it. That's Jesus saying it. Do you understand? That's why it's important to understand the heart. Let this mind be in you. Let this heart be in you. That new creation, if you surrender to Christ and his Holy Spirit. Even in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, he was talking about looking upon, the prophet looking upon David, this ruddy little boy, and he said, "Don't look on the outward side of man, because God looks on the heart." That's 1 Samuel 16, 7. You see, sin in your life causes your heart to grow hard, especially if it's continual and you have not repented of it. Hello?
Yes.
See, there's a progressive nature to sin. My father taught on it some time ago, where you saw, now just the example of David, where he looked upon the woman and had lust in his heart, and that sin grew, and it led to eventually even murder. So when you don't deal with sin and you don't repent from it, it grows and your heart becomes hardened to it. That's this world today, as we've become hardened to correction of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Grieving means separation. When you grieve the loss of a loved one, you've been separated from that loved one. You can't be with them. You can't engage with them. When you're grieving the Holy Spirit, it's because you've partaken in sin, and the Holy Spirit wants nothing to do with it. That's why when Christ was on the cross, God had forsaken him, because he took the sins of the world upon him, and that was the first time where he felt the separation from God. Sin is serious. It is serious. And there's a progressive nature to it. 1 John 1, 8 through 10. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins. And what does he do? And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. What was point one? Surrendering to the authority of his word. Two, if you don't repent from the sin, and you say you don't have it, and if you don't repent from it, then you're making him a liar. You haven't surrendered, going back to point one, to the authority of his word. So if we don't confess our sins, they have a cumulative effect. It desensitizes us to the effect of the Holy Spirit in our life, and it affects our heart and our thoughts, and it makes us difficult to distinguish right from wrong. That's the world we live in, where good has become evil and evil has become good, and it's just like you can feel it kind of creep in. If you know what I'm talking about, in the world today, the things that 20 years ago were wrong, suddenly there's this like, well, maybe it's not so bad. You know, times have changed, kind of catch up with it. Do you see what I'm saying here? There's that progressive nature as sin creeps in the world, as darkness creeps in the world. And this sinful hardened heart is the same as a seared conscience that Paul speaks of. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. How does that happen? Because they haven't surrendered to the authority of God's word. They're not even in God's word, so they don't know how to test it. They don't know how to check that. They just hear something and accept it as his will. Don't accept my word for it. Don't just feel like I checked off. I came here Sunday. I heard Pastor Jeff say it. I'll accept it as truth. No, you study to show yourself approved. You understand. There may be a time where your life depends on it. Scripture makes it clear that if we relentlessly continue to engage in sin, there comes a time when God gives us over to a reprobate mind and lets us have it our own way. That's the free will of man. That's the free will of man. God will not put you into a cage. Romans 1, 18 through 32. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Suppress it. The truth is there. They just suppress it. Our man knows. Man knows when they're doing wrong. Because what may be known of God is manifest in him, for God has shown it to them. He shows it to every single person. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that were made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That was evolution in itself, and the idea of it to creep in is to help suppress truth. If there is no creator and there is no God, then I'm not accountable to anything. Because although, verse 21, they knew God, they did not glorify him, nor were thankful, and became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts, here it is again, were darkened. They were professing to be wise, and they became fools. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. What happened in the wilderness? What did they do when they got over to the other side? They exchanged the image of God that they were baptized into Moses in the cloud, and they decided to build a new image of calf, of a creature, of man that was forged by man. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature, lowercase c, rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to their vile passions. You want to do it? Go ahead. You are choosing your own condemnation. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust for one another, men with women, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Sodom and Gomorrah, the choice was there. Abraham petitioned, don't destroy, even if there's just one right, 50, 10, 5, even if there's one. None. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting, being filled. So once their heart was turned over to the reprobate mind, once that hardened heart was just, it turned off, what happens to that heart? The Spirit isn't there, and what does it say? Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but they also approve of those who practice them. Yes. Do you understand?
Yes.
Your heart. What you're feeling in your heart. What are you feeling in your heart? Are you feeling the word of truth in heart? Are you filling it with God's love and his grace and his mercy and all the other things that God gives, all the attributes of God? Or are you filling it with things of the world which lead to unrighteousness? So basically, men and women suppress the truth, listen closely, because they prefer their way.
That's right.
They prefer their lifestyle. They prefer their plans and their sin over God's ways.
Right.
As a result, they are given over to a hardened heart, a reprobate mind, and it's over for them. Proverbs 4:23, and I'm going to read it to you in the New Living Translation because it's a military term. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. If you don't guard something, what happens? If you left the door open at the bank, the vault wide open, and there's no guard there, what happens? Thieves come in and they rob. Who is the devil? He's the thief. He's a robber. He wants to take what God has given you and take you back into the world. He's as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. One more time. Guard your heart. If you deal with your heart before God, if you are open continually before God, exchange your thoughts with his thoughts, you can stop the enemy and the flesh from exalting itself above Christ, and you can bring every thought into captivity. Amen. So sin begins in the heart. And hardness of heart stirs up God's anger. It's because of a lack of obedience and surrender to his word and his ways. Again, New Living Translation, John 3:36. Anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. And anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment. It comes to a point of repentance and a desire for holiness. The repentance, he gives you the new heart, and now there's a desire for holiness. That's the sanctification process. When you are surrendered, you are becoming sanctified and you're becoming more holy. Are you becoming more holy or are you becoming more worldly? Ask that question to yourself. So to avoid the hardness of heart, you have to surrender to God's authority of his word. You must seek him with your whole heart to make sure that you are in proper relationship with him. For pride will also cause your heart to harden. Just as the tares stand straight up, the wheat and tares, right? Obadiah 3. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is so high, you say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? That Romans 1 where you're talking about suppressing the truth, that's the belief. I am God. That's where it goes back into the garden. I am God. Who can pass judgment upon me? The root of Pharaoh's hard-heartedness was his pride and his arrogance. Even in the face of tremendous proofs and the wonder of God and the works of God, God's powerful hand was at work, and we're going to go through it real quickly here. Pharaoh's hardened heart caused him to deny the sovereignty of the one true God. God called Pharaoh to humble himself and acknowledge that God was the true authority. And there were several opportunities of repentance. I know that people say, well, God hardened his heart. Just listen to the way the scripture reads, because you can see that there was choices made by Pharaoh as well. The 10 plagues in Pharaoh's heart, the blood, Exodus 7:22. Pharaoh's heart became hard. Frogs, Exodus 8:15. Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Yes. Gnats, Exodus 8:19. Pharaoh's heart was hard. Flies, Exodus 8:32. Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Exodus 9:7. The livestock die. Pharaoh's heart was hard. Exodus 9:12. The boils. The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Exodus 9:34, hail, Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Locust, Exodus 10:1-20, God announces that he has hardened Pharaoh's heart. Darkness, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. The death of the firstborn, God hardened Pharaoh's heart, Exodus 11:10. There was choices that were made that continuously led to that. And that's really where God just led him over to the reprobate mind to make his own choices.
Right. Pastor, would you forgive us? We have to leave.
And when King Nebuchadnezzar was stripped of his glory and humbled, He was humbled until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men. In Daniel 5, 20 through 27, King Nebuchadnezzar, but when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven away from people and given the mind of an animal, and he lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like the ox, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over all the kingdoms on the earth and sets over them anyone he wishes. Nebuchadnezzar, because of pride, his heart became hardened, and he was lowered to the point of becoming a beast. You see, sin and pride cause us to think as if we are God. It stems back to the garden. We had a choice of two trees, the tree of life or the knowledge of good and evil. I like to say where Pastor Carter Collins said that when the tree of knowledge of good and evil was chosen and fruit was partaken, the Satan, the serpent, injected his venom, which was the venom to be greater than God. That in each person, that sin nature for us to determine what is right in our own minds was created. What is right in our own minds. We make that determination. We don't surrender to God. It's not like what is right, God, not asking him. We just determine our own mind. This is what happens. This is okay. Even though the scripture says, no, I'm not going to accept that portion. That's why that point one is so important. You have to surrender to the authority of God's word. Amen. Not cherry pick the scriptures. Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its way is death. So, submitting to the authority of God's word. Two, your relationship. Three, you have to surrender and submit to God's ways. And I'm amazed at the power of the Holy Spirit in some of the things that were said there. So, Ed was kind of spot on with what he was sharing for communion. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, you know this scripture. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So you are responsible to learn and submit to God's ways. You are surrendering to his ways. How do you find his ways?
In the Word.
You get in the Word, okay? And you're in proper relationship, then he can accomplish his purpose in you. Listen to this. I'm going to read this to you. Proverbs chapter 1, 23 through 33. Listen to it in the New Living Translation. It says, come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise. I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered. So I will laugh when you are in trouble. I will mock you when disaster overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, and when disaster engulfs you like a cyclone, and anguish and distress overwhelm you, when they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me, for they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. They rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore, they must eat, listen to this, church, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way. Does that not tie back to the garden? Wow. Choking on their own schemes. For simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency. But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear or harm. I don't know how any other way to put that out straight. It's just so straight to the point. All this scripture ties together. If you neglect God's word, when you have the opportunity to learn it, you and I will be overwhelmed when crisis hits. The crisis unprepared for. the crisis unprepared for, is there enough word inside you to keep you going to the mud when that day comes? When the Bible is not accessible, what foundation will you be standing on when the storms of life come your way? If your heart is hardened, it will be on the sandy shores, I promise you that, and it will be washed away. It will not be on the rock. We're going to go a little bit more on that next week with Palm Sunday, by the way. That's why 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved. Amen. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, God's ways often involve situations of extreme trial for his people. His ways are not our ways. He often works in a way that seems strange to us. His word reveals different ways to us so that we can recognize them when they actually happen to us. Hearts can become hardened when we suffer setbacks and disappointments in life. No one is immune to the trials here on this earth. We all will face trials in our life. Our dear sister has had a heart transplant. That's a trial in itself. Yet just as silver is purified by intense heat for the silversmith, and just as steel is forged by the blacksmith's hammer, so too our faith can be strengthened by the trials that we encounter in the valleys of life. Romans 5, 1 through 5, therefore having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace, which is what? God's empowering presence for us to do and be what we cannot do and be on our own. So we have faith into this grace in which we stand. And when you stand, you are steadfast. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. That's the hope we cling to. And hope does not disappoint. It does not disappoint, because the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. How many of you have had trials in your life? You get through the trial and you look back and you can now see God's sovereign hand upon you.
Amen. Yes, indeed.
Just as the Bible has those stories, so your stories are forged. That's why that song, "This is my story, this is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long for what he has done in my life." The fact of salvation in itself is a miracle.
Amen.
You were once lost and now you are found, folks. His ways are not our ways. Think about it. Abraham, Jacob, Joseph. Look at his journey to where he became. David, little ruddy David, taking on a giant. The champion of the Philistines. How about calling Levi to follow him? How about Peter? How about Paul? See, God's ways involve his people to the end of themselves so that they know that they can trust and must be in him alone. Amen. That's all those examples you just saw there. They had to come to the end of themselves so then God could. Do you understand? If we do not know his ways, when we are put in that wilderness with no water, when we are barren and we have no strength to do anything other for God, we will be prone to go back to the mud just as Israel did. So we have to learn to know his ways through his word. And when we know that if that crisis hits, when weakness hits, then we know that he is strong and he is with us and that we have to seek him with our entire heart. He's faithful, folks. When we are confronted with the fork in the road, the narrow path, God's way, or the wide way of destruction, we have the choice of either surrendering to him and his will or going back to the world, going back to the mud, going back to our own ways. 2 Peter 2:20 through 22 says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of this world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. And the latter end is worse for them than the beginning, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it and turned from the holy commandment. That's turning from the word delivered to them. They didn't want to receive it. They suppressed the truth. That's that Proverbs right there. I don't want it. And it's as the proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow or a pig having washed, going back to the miry muck, the mud. So when you refuse to take God's way, you are testing him. You're testing him. Numbers 14 through 20 through 24 says, then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of God, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice. I hear Romans 1 there. I hear that Proverbs right there. They certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, has followed me fully, and I will bring it into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. You should go back and be underlining these scriptures. Listen to this, just listen to this message again. So when God promises something and we face trials that seem to counter his promise, we again are faced with that choice. Is God faithful to his word or is he not? What was the problem with the spies was they did not trust God's word. They did not trust his promise. They did not trust that he had a way to make it happen. They looked at their circumstances and they looked at they called them giants. There's giants in the land. And they created fear amongst the people. They invoked fear because there were huge giants that live in the land. And they were trusting in their own abilities rather than trusting in God. So the question is, will we trust in God and his promises, or will we allow the problems to cause us to harden our hearts and not take God at his word? You have to surrender against the authority of God's word. You have to make sure your heart is properly submitted to him and in proper relationship. And you have to submit to his ways. Then can he deal with you and work through you. The solution to avoiding a hardened heart is if you are under conviction. If you are under conviction, there is still hope for you. If you ask God, he will help you to see your heart's condition. I'm going to read to you Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought from afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. There's meekness there. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall follow me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both like you, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written. The days fashioned me when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. And he closes that psalm. And he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. Try me and know my anxieties. Know my fear. and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You see, God can heal our heart once we recognize that our disobedience, where we were, and that we repent from our sins, He's faithful to forgive us. And true repentance is more than just a feeling.
Right.
It's a changed life. It's a turning.
Amen.
And you begin to live a life according to His way and His plans, because it's the manuscript in your life that's on your lap.
Amen.
So James 1:25 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So in closing, my question is to you. Your heart is either hardening against God because you are resisting His ways with you, or it is growing softer towards God because you are submitting to His word and His ways. It's one or the other. It's either growing softer or it's growing harder. There's no middle ground. Sanctification is a process. Becoming holy is a process. Every day. Your response to His word, the crisis and trials in your life, reveal where your heart is. Send down spiritual roots deep into fertile soil of God's word so that you can endure when the hot sun of affliction beats down on you. For you will be like a tree then, planted by the rivers of water, and bring forth fruit in due season, and your leaves will not wither. Then we can say what David was able to say, Psalm 19, verse 10, 11, with my whole heart I have sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments, for your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I have been faithful to deliver what you've given me, Lord. Let it be a reminder, Lord, that we examine ourselves daily as we enter in these times, Lord, that things will only get harder and harder to try to live for you, Lord. It's not going to get easier. Help us to remain steadfast, Lord, to stand in your ways, to put on the armor of God daily, Lord, that we might guard our hearts to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You are dismissed.